The first reading this evening comes from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, and beginning at verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? And then moving on to verse 23. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The fresh threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our second reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 16 to 21. Jesus is preaching many things. And he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put on oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sometimes it seems a bit of a funny time, Lent. I have to say that for a lot of my life, I've thought it all seemed a bit long. It's a kind of good thing, but 7 weeks seems an awfully long time to be doing it. So I just want to give you that caveat. If you feel that, I feel that too sometimes. I once knew an elderly lady who, at my training church in Burpham, who knew that she was dying. And she was very old anyway, and she'd been diagnosed with an incurable sort of terminal illness. And I went to see her. She was lovely, very godly lady, a bit brisk. And she said to me, I really do hope I don't die in Lent. She said, because when I was at home, I went to a very church-going family. And in Lent, we had to give things up. And it seemed so long and so miserable and so dour, and often the weather wasn't very good, and I hated Lent. And so I want to die at Easter. She actually did die in the week after Easter, which was, you know, lovely for her. Okay, sorry, I thought someone was saying something. And it can feel like a bit of a doer time and a difficult time. And I can't say that I've ever found it really easy to get my head around what we're actually doing in Lent. There's a lot about ash. And of course, in the Old Testament and indeed the New Testament, ash was used as a symbol of actually a number of things. It was a symbol of repentance. People, that's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know, don't look as if you're fasting, because everyone will, you know, just give you brownie points instead of doing it for the right reason. But actually, ash was very symbolic of repentance, of saying, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, I've done a bad thing. There are lots of symbols. I could share some others with you from other cultures. But this idea that I really do want to say to God, I'm sorry and I want to start again. And in a little while, I will give you the opportunity after you've taken communion to come over there and I will just put a little mark. If you want to, you don't have to, you can go back to your seat. But just a sign of the cross in ash. Just as a reminder that we're coming today to God to say, actually, sometimes I've really messed up. And I don't just want to talk about today, Lord. I would just love to spend this next season of my life allowing you to dig out those things which perhaps ought to be different and to put in those things which ought to be better. Interestingly enough, ash was also a symbol of mourning and of loss. So when people were at a funeral, they would put ash on as a sign of their sorrow. And I don't think it's inappropriate today that as we come into the season of Lent, we bring our brokenness and our sorrow to the Lord as well and ask him to heal those places where we feel loss of loved ones, loss of faculties, loss of opportunities, regrets for things that might have been. And perhaps one of the things we could usefully do during this Lent is actually to just look at those things and be willing to confront them and to bring them, perhaps even tearfully, to God and say, Lord, this really hurts. And allow him to touch them with his healing. So how should we approach Lent? Of course, a lot of people give things up. When I was a teacher, I once had a guy who said to me, Miss, I've given up homework for Lent. I thought that was really good. But if I give up chocolate or wine, it's probably because I want to lose weight rather than for the right reason. So that's a bit complicated because I often used to think, oh, I'll give up chocolate for Lent. But I knew the real reason was that I hope I'd lose a pound or two by the end. I'm not sure that's what it's about because, you see, Lent isn't about works. It isn't about convincing God that I'm a good person because I've given this up or that up. It's not trying to go back to a doctrine of earning our salvation and getting God to think that we're a good person. It's to do with demonstrating an attitude of the heart. And it might not necessarily mean giving something up. Fasting, of course, in Bible times was quite important because if you didn't have a fridge and you didn't have a proper cooker, a lot of your time would be spent dealing with the whole food business. Dare I say, especially if you're a woman. But no, for everybody, there was quite a lot of food prep. And so to fast, perhaps in the middle of the day, was to give people a chance to focus on prayer and worship instead of doing all those things. But I wonder how we can find a way of using the next few weeks to be life-changing, deeply helpful, godly, taking us forward, preparing us to engage with Holy Week and Easter, perhaps as never before. Not as a kind of long drawn out trudge through deprivation, but as an opportunity to just draw closer to God. And I'll talk in the end in a minute about how we might do that practically. In the reading that Terry read for us from Joel, the people had turned away from God big time. And as a result, God had had to punish them in ways which perhaps we now find a little bit odd in post-New Testament times. But they were oppressed by their enemies. They obviously had a lot of different sorts of locusts. And life was very hard for them. So that God could sort of give them a big nudge and say, come back to me. And then when they were going to repent and come back to God, they were promised
blessing, blessing upon blessing. There was all this stuff about wine and vines and the land bearing fruit. And also that amazing verse, which I think is lost in the Bible very often, but is amazing. I will restore to you the years of the locust. When things have gone wrong, it's very easy to think, well, that was a waste. God wastes nothing. And whatever is lost, he will restore. And I think that's a wonderful promise. So what God is saying is, if you do come to me in repentance, there is much blessing for you. More than that, he actually says in through Joel, it's not about what you're wearing, rags, ash on your head, gloomy face. It's about your heart. Rend your hearts and not your garments. So in a way, I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit here and say it doesn't actually matter too much what you give up or don't give up. That's between you and God. And if that makes you feel that it's easier for you to approach this time of giving God more time, then that's fine. But God is concerned about your heart. And that what the most important thing that we need to do during this Lent is to redo our hearts. Now, I don't know if you're a gardener. My lovely husband used to do a lot more gardening than he does now, but he still does. And the garden is very important to us. But I once heard our hearts described as like God's garden. Now, if I say to a class of youngsters, you know that inner place where you go and you're just you and yourself inside? Kids know all about that. They're very familiar with the inner place. I think as we get older, we sometimes forget about it. So let's talk about the heart, meaning that place you go when there's no one else in the room, where you're about to turn the light out in bed, and you just go there. You might be thinking, but it's the place where you pray, where you are yourself there with God. And I love this picture that over the years that I have walked with God, he has planted things in that place. Verses of scripture that really meant something. Acts of kindness and love by other people. Reassurances that he loves me and accepts me. A whole garden full of beautiful things. And I'm going to suggest that one of the things we could picture this Lent is that we're going to garden our hearts. Go in there and thank God for all those amazing blessings that we've had over the years. For perhaps the verses that have meant so much. Let's look them up again and read them. Let's give thanks for the people who are kind or who taught us something important. And let's check if there are any weeds. There are weeds. For me, the weeds, if you like, are when I go to pray, there's always something else that's more important. And perhaps we need to pull some of those weeds out and allow God to turn our heart into a beautiful place where we want to go to spend time with him and to listen for his voice. In the Matthew passage, Jesus was saying much the same thing. He said, if you're going to fast, don't make it a big outer thing. It's not to do with impressing people. It's not to do with impressing God even. What matters is your heart. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first those things that can't get spoiled because they're kept forever in heaven with God. So in our inner place, we are actually preparing our whole being for its relationship with God into eternity, because that won't fade. That will always be there. So some practical ideas. How can we use this time as a time of preparing the ground of our hearts and opening ourselves afresh so that God can richly bless us? Not to earn some kind of favour by getting it right, but just by telling him how much we love him and how eager we are to be fruitful and delightful for God. Well, some very practical things, all of which you've heard many, many times over, but I'm going to say them because it's Ash Wednesday. Making more time for prayer. I don't know if, like me, you use Lectio 365 of a morning. If you don't, come and talk to me afterwards because it's really, really good. But one of the things in yesterday's was how important it is to just, even if it's only 5 minutes a day, or 10 minutes a day, that you wouldn't normally spend just listening to God. just being quiet. Some of us find that desperately hard and others don't. I'm one of the former. But it is important that we try and say, Lord, I'm going to get up 10 minutes earlier. Or I'm going to, as I confessed this morning to those who were here this morning, that when I get up early in the morning to make the tea, I'm not going to head for Scrabblegrams before I head for my Bible. but actually making time to be with God. And it doesn't have to be hours and hours, because that can be very daunting, unless you're the person who loves spending hours and hours. But if you're not, don't despise the 10 minutes is, because they're very important. Read a Christian book. We normally find a book to read over Lent, which will be helpful. One that's not perhaps too difficult, but something that you've been meaning to read for a long time. I could make one or two suggestions if you want some. But find a Christian book that you can really enjoy reading. Make sure that you're giving time for worship and reflection, and possibly a slight change in routine and use of time. Perhaps giving up something, not because it needs to be given up, but because it occupies too much time. To do with screens, perhaps. And actually, we could share a little bit more of that with God. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And so it is that as we approach this Lent, we come not just to say sorry and to beat our breasts and say, I'm really a horrible person, because you're not. God loves you desperately, intimately, personally, and passionately. But he does want you to be the best you can be. And this is a time for us to try and just sit under his love and his grace, his forgiveness. Ask to be filled afresh with his Spirit and renewed in our walk with him. Amen.